grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the Holy Spirit, through the word of our epistle text, is giving us a reminder of the one thing needful, and that is that a person is put right with God, not by the works of the law plus faith in Christ, but one is put right with God by faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's look into our epistle text from the book of Galatians today. Now, as usual, when we have a lesson from the epistles, we kind of come right in the middle of an argument. Right? Paul is making a rather long and involved argument. And what he's making the argument of is this: the Galatian Christians, the church that Paul and Barnabas had founded on Paul's first missionary journey, they had been infiltrated by false teachers. And these false teachers said basically this. They said, Paul means well, you know, but he's making it too easy for you. You see, first, you have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And then you add to that faith in Christ. And these two things, the false teacher said, these two things, this plus this, equals your salvation, your justification before God. Now, this directly contradicts what the Bible teaches, and it directly contradicts what St. Paul clearly teaches, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That means that we are put right with God, not by what we do, but what Christ has done for us and which we receive by faith. That's the argument that Paul is making. So he told the Galatian Christians, you've listened to false teachers. They have seduced you away from the truth that you once enjoyed, and now you have fallen from grace because you put your faith in a false gospel. You see, whenever you add anything to Jesus Christ, the Savior, you have entered into a contradiction and you have fallen from grace. And so Paul says here, he says, listen, this is where we begin in verse 15. Listen, I'm giving a human example here from ordinary everyday life. Even though it's only a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no one can nullify it or add anything to it. So, you know, let's say you have a last will and testament. Once you have that last will and testament officially prepared and finished, all right, once it has been ratified, nobody can diddle with it. All right, that's what Paul is saying. Now, why is he talking about human covenants and human testaments? Because he says, listen, in the Old Testament, book of Genesis, to Abraham and to his seed were the promises given. So Abraham received promises for him and for his seed. All right? And he says, not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So a promise from God was made to Abraham and to Christ, the promised seed. Right? And then he says this. So there was this promise, this solemn covenant, this testament which God entered into with Abraham. And it was about the inheritance, the eternal inheritance in Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And it says in verse 17, and this I say, so now he's getting to the point that he wants to make, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, all right? So that initial book of Genesis covenant that God made with Abraham, all right? This covenant, the law, right? The law, which was 430 years later, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The thought was that when God gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, that superseded the initial promises made to Abraham and the patriarchs, right? And Paul says here, no, 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 no. The law, which came 430 years later, does not cancel out the promise made to Abraham, all right? Don't get that idea in your head. God didn't change his mind, all right? The law was given for something else. And then he gives us the implication of this for our faith. He says in verse 18, if the inheritance be of the law, then it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. So Paul says, you can't have it both ways. All right? You can't have it both ways. You cannot say, I believe in the promise of God in Christ, and then at the same time say, I am saved by my obedience to the law of God. These two things contradict one another. In fact, they cancel one another out if you set them up next to each other on equal footing. Do you see what St. Paul is saying? If you think that your salvation is a combination of the works of the law plus faith in Christ, you are believing in two things that are mutually contradictory. This one cancels out this one, and this one cancels out this one. So after Paul says to the Galatian Christians, for their repentance and for the strengthening of their true faith, he says to them, the law cannot cancel out the promise of the gospel previously made. All right? The gospel that was given to Abraham was confirmed in Christ, and the law does not make it ineffectual. The promise still stands. The inheritance still stands by promise received in faith. All right, so that's the first part of our epistle text for today. And what we are learning is that the gospel is our salvation. We are justified by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and it is not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, if we're going to boast about anything, let us boast about the cross of Christ and not about our own personal holiness. All right, so the first thing here he does is to say that the law which came later does not trump the gospel. The gospel stands. The promise of salvation in Christ through faith stands. All right? So then we move on to the second part of our text. And the question arises, well then, what's the law for? Why did God give the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai? Why did he set up the tabernacle and all of the liturgical practices? Why did he institute the sacrifices, the priesthood, the vestments, and all of the other things that were the worship, constituted the official worship of God in the Old Testament? Why did he do that? What's it for? Why then serves the law? And Paul says this. Now notice how Paul words this. It's important that you notice this. First, he says, it was added. All right? Was added. You notice the passive tense there? It was added. All right? When it was talking about the promise up above, it says the promise, he gave the promise. Right? But here, the law was added. Added because of transgressions. And that's the key thing in this, right? The law was added because of transgressions. And I'll say more about that in a moment. Notice the next phrase, it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So the law was given as a temporary arrangement until the Messiah came, until the promise was fulfilled in the coming of the seed, the long promised seed. So the law was added, and it was added as a temporary measure because of transgressions, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So what he's saying here is that the law was ministered to us as a temporary measure and indirectly. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. But of the promise, it says that God gave that promise directly. But the law, it was given, it was added, and it was done through intermediaries, the angels and Moses, the mediator. All right? Now, this is important. All right? So what's the point? The point is that the law serves a purpose, and that is it deals with transgressions. Number one, the law, the voice of God's law, when it is preached, when it is spoken, it curbs coarse outbreaks of sin in the world. To some extent. Right? Now, there are some people who are so incorrigible that nothing can stop them from their wickedness and evil. All right? But to some extent, we are all curbed by the law. Once we know that God doesn't want us to do something, we are loath to do it. We may do it, and that's what confession and absolution is all about. We may do it. But, all right, but the thing is, we know it's wrong, all right? So the first job of the law, the reason God gave it, is to curb, to act as a curb. The second and even more important purpose for which the law was given is to serve as a mirror. A mirror. When you hear God's law, it's like looking at your face in a mirror. And the law is saying to you, you have sinned. You are guilty before God of having sinned. And if you don't put it right, you will perish everlastingly. And by the way, the law is not, the Old Testament law of God is not a bunch of important suggestions for you to consider. The law commands that you keep its statutes and its commandments, that you keep it perfectly, and that you keep it perpetually. And if you want to live by the law, the only thing for it is perfect obedience in everything all the time. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Problem. None of us qualifies. Do you see this? All right. So what does the law do? It shows you that you are a condemned, lost sinner. And it shows you that you need a savior, because there's nothing you can do to redeem yourself. You need a savior. And so the law prepares you to hear the gospel. You hear the law shows you your sin, it shows you your lost condition, it shows you the condemnation that you are under because of your sin, and then you are alarmed by the law and you seek help. And that's when God's good news comes to you, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel does not give commandments. The gospel simply tells you what Christ has done and still does for your perfect redemption. And the gospel doesn't tell you to do something about it. It tells you to receive it in faith. All right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. All right? We receive this by faith. And so the second purpose of the law is it is a mirror to show us our sins. The third use of the law is that the law serves as a guide for Christian behavior. Why, if we have the Holy Spirit, why do we need a guide for our Christian behavior? Because we still have the flesh. We're still in the flesh. We're still living in a fallen, sinful world. And we have not been perfected yet. We will be perfect in the kingdom of glory, in the new heaven and the new earth. But here and now in this world, we've still got that old Adam. And every time we shove him down in his grave and pour dirt over the top of him, his hand comes up again and he tries to reassert himself. This is how we live in this world. We have the new man in us, that is, the new birth in Christ, the new nature that we have been given in Christ, but we have the old Adam still in us. And the old Adam, he loves the religion of works. He loves the religion of man taking credit for his own salvation. The old Adam is a pious hypocrite, and he loves to be that way. And so whenever we use the law as a guide for our life, we always have to remember this. While the law is guiding you, it's also showing you your sins, right? So whenever we're looking for guidance in conduct, we are also being thrown back upon the gospel Because as the law guides us in conduct, it also says, which, by the way, you haven't done. Right? Because that's all the law can do. The law can say, do this, don't do this. Oh, I see you've done it. Too bad, you're going to be punished. That's what the law can say. The law can tell you the problem, but it can't give you the solution. Why? Because there's something wrong with the law? No, there's something wrong with us. And the law is like, because we are sinners, because we are weakened by sin, the law encounters us like Godzilla. He's stomping around, and even if he means well, he keeps smashing everything. That's what the law does. Not because there's anything wrong with God's law, but there's something wrong with us, and therefore the law can't help killing us. It says, I want to help you guys. And we're like, get away! Right? What happened when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai? Right? The voice of God spoke the Ten Commandments. When the people heard it, they shot back as far away as they could get. And they said to Moses, when they recuperated from the incredible experience of God's voice talking to them, don't let him talk to us anymore. If we hear his voice anymore, we will die. Here's what you do, Moses. You go talk to him. Tell us what he said. And God said to Moses, good idea, a good idea. Right? So you see here, the law was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. Now that the seed has come, he has brought us eternal redemption, the inheritance promised to Abraham and now made a reality by the blood, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, so the last part of our text today, somebody in the crowd is going to ask, well, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. Is the law against the promises of God? All right, is there a contradiction here? Does the law contradict the promises of God? Paul answers, God forbid. You know, sometimes when somebody asks certain questions, that's the only thing you can say is, God forbid. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So the question is the law against the promises of God? And no. The short answer, no. The longer answer is this. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, then truly salvation would have, or righteousness would have been by the law. The problem is that the law can't do the job, because though it intends to help us, it smashes us to death. All right? Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, he's talking about the same subject. And in Romans chapter 8, he says this. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So he says, God did for us in Christ what the law could not do because it was weakened by the flesh. Because we are sinners, the law, even though it wants to help us, it crushes us. Even when it's playing nice with us, it smashes us. And so, the law was never meant to be a means of salvation. It was always meant to be a preparation for us to hear and believe the gospel, Once the law has done its work and you have come under conviction for your sins, it is only then that you are ready to hear about Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of the world. A smug, unbelieving person is bored to death by the talk of Jesus. Why? Because he thinks that he's doing fine all by himself. He thinks that his life is fine, and he doesn't think he needs a savior. Religion is for people who need a crutch, the smug, self-righteous worldling says. Right? But once that person is exposed to the law of God, now at first they may squeal and scream and try to say, oh, that's not God's law, that's just man's regulations invented over centuries. Yeah? Keep telling yourself that when your conscience is telling you something different. All right, your conscience is telling you something different, and that's why you're so defensive. Oh. All right, so here, is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. The problem with the law is not the law itself. The problem with the law is who it's addressing. And it's us, sinners. And when it addresses us, it can't give us the life we need to be redeemed. It can only keep telling us what to do and what not to do. And so it leaves us under condemnation. It leaves us in a lost condition, and it leaves us helpless and hopeless before God because we can't do it. All right? But notice this, he says, if there had been a law given that could give life, then it would be by the law. Righteousness would be by the law. But, and here's our last word for today, the scripture has confined everything under sin. The message of the Bible concerning sin is that everybody is lost and condemned under sin. The law silences every mouth and makes every heart guilty before God. All right? The scripture has confined all things under sin. Why? So that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. See that? The reason why the law lumps us all under sin is so that the promise by faith in Christ might be given to those who believe. So now we consider once again our theme for the day, that we are put right with God by faith in Christ alone. And there are no pluses. It's not works plus faith. It's not law plus Jesus. It is Jesus, gospel, faith. That is our justification before God. And everything that proceeds from that is another question for another week. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.